T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
I have him as the MVP, the comeback player of the year, the Walter Payton man of the year,
Super Bowl MVP.
Super Bowl MVP.
Yes.
Tom Brady's going to win an award for the most chicken wings eaten at Hooters. That's about it down in Tampa.
That was Christian's great prediction. When was that? Back in March, right?
It was March 31st.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think you're...
Just outside the top five.
Glenn, I think you're kind of like the victim of the moment guy. I think you're kind of morphing into that guy right now, and I expect more from you. I'm amazed you're actually going there.
This would not be easy for Tom Brady.
No, screw easy. He did just throw 5 touchdowns. He was just NFC Player of the Week.
Yes.
And suddenly, like, all these problems are his. Like,
no.
He's telling the offensive lineman to jump off sides. He's telling Mike Evans to push into everybody.
Excuse me, when we were having this argument about you calling him the MVP, I told you he's not with the right team. And we had this whole argument about, you know, Brady without Belichick, Belichick without Brady. And I think we're finding out right now that you put the two of them together and you...
I'd say Belichick with Stidham.
With Cam. No, we're talking about with Cam.
But I'm just saying currently. Yeah, with Cam.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about Stidham or Hoyer, yes, it would be a complete disaster.
Just remember, put in the back of your mind
that
when Tom Brady left, Stidham was the plan.
Yes.
So just remember that.
Yeah. No, everybody wants to do this about, you know, who's more valuable, Belichick or Brady. It sounds to me like Curtis totally flip-flopped this morning. Do we have that? That was unbelievable.
Seeing Tom Brady, Greg, last night after that incompletion, raise 4 fingers to the air was a knife through my heart. I was like, honest to God, this guy, it's true.
Let's go Bucks.
His brain, his mental capacity for the position has gone quicker than his arm because he's made throws. Like his decisions have been bad in the throws he's made.
Right.
It's not his ability to be accurate with his throws.
Talking about Joe Biden? What is he talking about?
That is maybe he's just too emotionally affected by this to actually see straight. So I'll give Curtis a pass on this one.
Oh, I'm not giving him a pass.
This is the
guy that said he wasn't going to watch the New England Patriots this year. He's only watching Tampa Bay.
Pleasure to be here, Richard. Thank you for having me.
I don't see that at all. I don't see that in the slightest. I see a guy that is just as dialed in and is just as productive with the right circumstances, right people doing the right thing, as 3 years ago, as 2 years ago. I don't see a difference in him. I don't.
Still MVP?
I don't.
Still think MVP?
What, so he's only had, 5 games?
Huh?
How's he? 5 games.
No.
You think the MVP is decided after the 5th game?
You're missing my point. I'm not being mean to Tom Brady.
No, you're saying that it's the system.
I'm not blaming Tom Brady
that he's on.
You're
saying that it's the team that he's on.
I'm telling you that Tom Brady is going to a team with a totally different culture where all the little things, we excuse them. Don't worry. Oh, you're fine. No, we still love you. You're okay.
It's like loading the dishwasher. Should I load this? Somebody else will do it.
It doesn't work that way, and it's not the best for Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I think, thrives with discipline, everybody being disciplined, including himself. And right now, he's with an undisciplined team, and there's nothing he can do about it.
I know, but I find it, because people with Tom Brady, it's so one way or the other. Like you,
I agree.
You think that he's done, right? No, not you. I'm just saying, there's people out there, and I say not you. There's people out there that think that he's done, he's old, he's washed
up. Tom Brady needs to retire.
Thank you, like that guy. Then there's others out there that, you know, that still think he's great, whatever it is. But we're so quick. It's not just game to game. It's like quarter to quarter, half to half. You know, last week at second half, 5 touchdowns, he's NFC Player of the Week. You know, people come out of the woodwork, you know, pro Tom Brady. Then we see that last night late in the game. Then it comes out like guys like Curtis already jumping off. Bottom line is the guy's been good, you know, and he still throws the living hell out of it. Like, these guys are on all the time. We watch these games. And I've seen him be really good in the games, even the couple of the pick six games. Really, really good, and throws a pick six. You know, inexcusable, I get it. But it's like, oh, he's washed up. But it's like, you didn't watch the previous quarter. Like, the throws he's making to the sidelines, some of these throws he's making are, like, right on the money. Like, the arm strength is still there. But, you know, listen, he's 43, but he's still a very good quarterback in this league.
Yeah, but how about the team he's with? How about the coach?
Well, the
how
team is the extremely undisciplined. Again, right. Nine offensive penalties. You know, the Patriots last year never had nine in a game? Nine. And they had nine offensive penalties. They haven't had more than nine penalties, period, in a game since week 15, 2018. That was a game in Pittsburgh where they just lost their ever-loving mind. I think it was like 14. They don't commit that many penalties.
It's such a problem. It'll be there all year because once you kind of get known for being an a penalty-plagued team, you're always on edge.
And it's
you're
their
always
tackles.
Anxious. Yeah, and it's and I get it. It's, you know, Khalil Mack, and, you know, they're good defenders and they're good pass rushers, but still.
But you're going to face a lot
of those.
I mean,
that to me, so fine, you're offsides or you're holding. You'd rather hold the guy than let your quarterback get killed. But some of the other
stuff.
How
about when you hold the guy and your quarterback still gets killed? Is that good?
It's bad all around. I will say this, though. I do think, you know, as far as the relationship goes with Bill and Arians, there just wasn't enough time for those guys to really develop that. And now, when the bullets are live and every game is of the utmost importance and the circumstances sometimes are as like they were last night, dire, then you would have some, you know, and I can't even make eye contact with him. I'm disgusted with him. I mean, when does his anger, instead going to Jensen or the offensive lineman or his rookie left tackle, when is it squarely pointed at the head coach?
Bruce, do something about this.
What are you doing? But it looks like you're not upset about
unnecessary, roughness penalties, like after plays.
Terrible.
Like, you know, I'm going to talk to Mike Evans after the game and show him that film and say, Mike, I don't know what you're complaining about. He threw that DB to the ground, like 10 yards deep, and looked at the ref like, what are you, how could you call that? What, it's not a foul. Yeah, it is.
Do you know there's a rule in the NFL, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but there's this rule in the NFL, it's relatively new, where if there is a scrum for a loose ball,
yeah,
the only people who are allowed to even get involved are the people who are initially involved with the scrum. So a defensive back or somebody else coming in late can't jump in and try to pull a guy off.
Right.
Well, I forgot who did it, but that person did it and pulled one of the other players off, the defending team. That guy didn't see the field for the rest of the game because Bill was so angry, and I'm sure he went over it, and the guy did it anyways. Like, forget about you. I remember his response was, I was trying to make a play. No, don't try to make a play when it goes against the rules. There's like this gap, but, you know, that stupid football players have, and they try to rationalize their decisions and what they do, even though they know the rules say you can't do it. Well, I was trying to do this. The rule says you can't.
Yeah, but here's
the difference. So if you can't see the difference, you can't play on this team. He's got about 20 of those guys playing with him. Tom Brady does.
We start with Kyle Duggar last week on that penalty. They pulled him right off the field, and they were talking to him on the sideline. He wasn't happy. So you talked about Mike Evans. There have been no repercussions in Tampa Bay.
He's a star, Glenn. I can't mess with my stars.
If you do that, you're on the very next play. Nobody's getting in your face. So the problem they're going to have now is Brady knows what it's like to play winning football. Because I think you're right. I think Tom Brady, in the end, the numbers will be pretty good this year. Okay, and maybe we should apologize right now to Jameis Winston for last year, because maybe part of it was the culture of the organization. Yeah. But Brady's numbers are going to be pretty good. Yet, I don't think they're going to win a lot of games. 9 or 10 might be that ceiling. And talent-wise, I think you guys were right. I think talent-wise, they're a better team than that. But teams that continue to make these mistakes, they lose the close games.
Well,
they take themselves out of games.
I wouldn't consider they're not going to win a lot of games if you think they can win 10.
10's going to be, I think, the same.
Yeah, I think they're going to be 11-5. They may have to get one back because I thought they'd win this guy. I thought they'd go into Green Bay 4-1, and Green Bay now all of a sudden could put them at 3-3 team, right? I mean, Green Bay's a good football team.
Yeah.
So they got to get one back. But you mentioned it. Right now he's on pace for 39 touchdowns, 13 picks, and 4,400 yards. That's what he's on pace for right now.
Good numbers.
Which, I mean, I remember saying beginning of the year, I'm like, he's gonna go down there with those weapons. He's gonna go off. He's gonna throw for like 40 touchdowns, like 10 picks. So I mean, he's kind of doing what we thought, you know. When you're 5 weeks into it, and just because it's national TV and you're watching that last night, and it's like, good, this team is a mess. Like they can't, and especially with him, how he wants to move the football, right? You know, it's like 1st and 10. He wants to get 6. You know what I mean? Create a 2nd and 4. Well, now it's a penalty. Now it's 2nd, 1st and 20. All right, I want to get like 8 of it back. You know, and then I want to try to get like, you know, 7 or 8 of it back. Create a 3rd and short types. Well, then there's another penalty. It's just like, it goes against everything that he believes in offensively. Everything.
Well, I mean, he's a supercomputer. So he's already done the numbers. So now you put me at 1st and 30. What? Okay, so then I do the unthinkable. Because there's not a lot of plays for 1st and 30. There's not a lot of plays for 2nd and 23 or, you know, 3rd and 18. You have maybe 5 of them. And they've seen every last one of them. So you got to be hold your blocks a lot longer because you have to wait for the play to develop. God forbid you just check it down and that guy's got to run for it. Probably won't get it. So there's a lot of risk involved with that. And that would drive me freaking nuts. Dumb football players drive me nuts. And I've told you guys this before. They will never start winning football games consistently until they stop losing
them.
Well,
let me ask you this.
These are losing football players.
But Brady obviously has a lot of clout, okay, walking in that locker room, right? I mean, he's Tom Brady. You know, he has thrown a couple pick sixes. You know, he's screaming at his offensive line. You know, let's go wake up. You know, on the sidelines. When he makes that mistake at the end of the game and doesn't realize it's not 4th down.
Yeah, you really can't say anything.
Like, do those younger players who still look at it and say, you know, it's Tom Brady. I'm still not going to rate, you know, say, come fight back to Tom Brady, right? But do they sort of put that in the back of their mind? And like a couple weeks down the road, you know, things keep happening. They're like, listen, dude, what are you? You're perfect right now. You're throwing pick sixes. You're forgetting how many downs there are at the end of the game. You're telling me to wake up. Like, we all got our issues, all right? When does that happen?
Yeah, I think it turns into. I'm glad.
When
you
does
said
that happen?
I think it turns into they're all sitting in the locker room, and then here comes Tom. They go, oh, here comes a know-it-all.
And quiet
Tom.
Down. Yeah.
Oh, what's he going to tell us today?
Here comes Mr. Perfect.
How is he going to tell us we screwed up today? What did I do wrong today?
Especially when the coach is just patting everybody on the back. Mike Evans, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll get him from the next play, big fella.
Casual coaches only excel with overachieving players.
Yep.
That's the only way a casual coach can be successful is if he has overachieving players, because they self-police. They get irritated and mad.
But you can't have the coach going in one direction, and the coach has been developing the culture here. Bring in Tom Brady because you want to change the culture and yet maintain the same culture where you're allowing players to go out there and commit 9 key penalties in the course of a game. One other thing I wanted to bring up about the Tom Brady screwing it up last night, not understanding that it was 4th down. Did you guys notice Troy Aikman try to bail him out, and he was totally wrong?
No, so when?
He sat there in the end, and he said, at the end of the game, and he said, well, I think he got confused because he forgot about the spike. And I'm sitting there going, I don't remember a spike. And I went back to the DVR, or rewound it, and I'm sitting there going, no, he's throwing it to Evans. No, he's throwing it to Evans. Oh, there's a drop by Gronk, and then there's the 4th down. There was no spike.
No, there was no spike.
Why didn't Aikman use the Jedi mind trick excuse? Why didn't he use that? I mean, that's the first thing I would have went to.
But, you know, you talk just the game itself. Like, I know how it ended and Chicago won. But, like, if Brady goes down and kicks a field goal, everyone's talking about Nagy the next morning, right?
Yeah, how much time he left on the clock?
I don't even know. I know Nagy. Is it Nagy or Nagy?
Nagy. He left a minute and 15.
He threw the ball. There was like a minute 23 to go.
All he had to do was run on that last play.
They could have punted. They could have kicked that field goal and then kicked off with, like,
30
seconds to go in the game and no timeouts.
Yeah, that was a huge mistake.
I mean,
you're right.
And then he threw it again, by the way.
Yes.
And they caught it, so the clock kind of, whatever, right? But still, it was like, what the?
Yeah, it makes you
think. You could have given him 2 timeouts.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, not to. I will say this, though. I think we are overreacting a little bit. I think for the most part. How many you just said you had, like, 9 in the one drive or 5 out of that?
5 in one drive.
5 in one drive. Like, that's unheard of. I don't think it'll be like that ever again, but it does kind of make you angry because you just wasted a win. You wasted it. Because you could have, you should have beat this team. You had a 13-point lead.
Hey, listen, they get Green Bay next week. They get Green Bay next weekend.
Man, it ain't getting any easier.
Well, no. you could end up with the Patriots and Tampa Bay having the same record by the end of next week. All right, you're not going to believe this. The NFL is installing a new rule.
Oh.
A new rule. I don't think Bill Belichick's going to like this rule. He's not going to like this. And Rodney Harrison chimes in on his fear, if he were a player, when it comes to COVID-19. We'll get to all of that coming up next in your phone calls right here on OMF.
Cam Newton joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, it looks like WEEI might have a brand new hockey insider, Christian Fourier. Greg Hill spoke with Tuukka Rask yesterday, and Rask told him that he will 100% be with the Bruins next season. Can you confirm?
I will not confirm it.
Or deny?
No, I just will not confirm it.
I don't believe it.
I believe that Greg is being used.
Oh.
Like all the other stoolies that are out there. The Ian Rappaport's, all of them.
You're disputing it then. You're disputing
it. I'm not disputing it. I haven't checked up on it because I don't care about hockey right now. I mean, who's talking about hockey?
And Greg, we're talking about hockey.
This guy's at a freaking golf tournament. Is that allowed? Right?
Sean Thornton's
golf tournament? What is this?
No positive tests in the latest round of COVID-19 testing for the Patriots. They do host the Broncos now Monday night, a 5:05 kickoff. I know Christian's a fan of that one.
Love it.
The New York Jets had a positive COVID-19 test for a player today. The entire team, the coaches and players, were sent home as the Jets facility is now currently shut down.
This is a presumptive positive
presumptive
test, right?
The test is being retested. Yeah. We're waiting on the
second
results.
Why are we even finding out if it's presumptive? Should we wait and find out if it's positive or negative?
It's a good point.
Is this what Stafford went through?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, nice way to learn from your mistakes, NFL.
Yeah, wait till this guy's wife.
According to a memo sent to NFL teams, officials have been authorized to now penalize teams 15 yards for unsportsmanlike conduct if a coach or anyone else on the sideline even approaches the officials while not wearing appropriate face coverings.
Bill will have three masks on Monday night.
Well, he would have got fined big time against the Chiefs when he went nuts about that no fumble dead ball call.
I love this. We just changed the rules in the middle of the season.
Yep. It's game five of the NBA Finals. Lakers lead the Heat 3-1 in the best of 7 series. The Lakers with a win tonight would tie the Celtics with 17 NBA championships.
I love it. ESPN, they just said, who's got more pressure on them, LeBron or Butler? And I'm like,
what?
I'm like, what? Like, LeBron's team is going to win.
It's got three more games.
It's done. Like, it's over. Like, LeBron's winning. Tell me game seven? Game seven, we can talk, right? More pressure on LeBron to win this thing because they should. But really? More pressure LeBron or Jimmy Butler? Like, this thing is over.
Lou, what'd you say? 17 and a half? 16
and a half championships. Put 16 and a half banners up there, Christian.
That's a good idea.
You get half a ring. Christian.
Finally, LA is going to get to live the experience that Boston has been living for years and years.
Nobody will
know
about
it. You're going to have two teams in your city holding a championship at the same time.
Dodgers choke again, of course.
It's a winner-take-all game tonight in baseball with the Yankees and Rays, 7-10 first pitch. The Astros await the winner of the Yankees-Rays game in the ALCS. And finally, Yankees great Whitey Ford passed away today. He was 91 years old.
Any stories of Whitey Ford there, Glenn?
All these Hall of Famers, man.
I'm glad you know. Sure Whitey you have some. Ford? Hey, what was it like at prom with you guys?
91.
91.
I'm Tyler Devin. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
All right, what's on deck this season? How about a beautiful new deck and rail system from TimberTech at CCL Homescapes in Abington? You'll see huge selection of TimberTech products. TimberTech decks are a low-maintenance alternative to wood. Let the experts at CCL help you enjoy life from your new deck, CCLCO.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The crafts call him the Godfather.
Glenn is the Godfather of sports talk radio.
Don't say that.
But we all know who the daddy is.
Mr. Kraft, I have to take a pee.
Ordway is on OMF.
I thought I did everything perfectly since March, isolating, wearing my mask, at home, haven't eaten out at a restaurant. Just only place I would go is on the golf course, and I would be the only person on the golf course. The fact that a lot of these young kids, these young men, they're so big and they're so strong and they feel like they're so healthy, they feel like they're immune to catching this virus. A lot of them, young people, they just don't take it serious. And trust me, after seeing my wife and seeing my daughter go through this situation, it's scary. You think I'm going to trust a 22-year-old guy that's going to come in the locker room and trust that he's going to do the right thing? And, you know, he's got money in his pocket. He's used to being out and about and having different people come through. It would be very scary for me in a locker room, Coach.
Ultimate point. That is Rodney Harrison. Rodney Harrison's wife and daughter got the COVID.
Did he say they were sick?
About a 22-year-old coming in the locker room if you were a player.
But did he say that they were sick? Listen, I get it. It would be scary. Even though, you know, I feel like my son would be fine, it would still be scary just to say it that he has it, whatever. But
the shame attached to it.
Were either one of them sick? He said what they had to go through.
Yeah, I don't know whether they get sick or not or whether they were asymptomatic, but he has mentioned numerous times because he's still doing all of his stuff on Sunday night from home. But he did mention both of them got the COVID. I don't know how badly they got it. And again, you're probably right, Lou. I mean, we're looking at the demos again and their age group. And in their age group, they more likely than going to get sick.
They're not college kids. So, and I would say 3-4 weeks ago, yeah, he's got a point. Hell, I wouldn't trust him either. You know they're not listening. But now with everything that's been going on over, let's say, the last 6 days and how the league is flat out just scaring the crap out of these guys and we will do this to you and we will take this amount of money from you and we will ban you, we will suspend you, and then we're going to take draft picks away from your team and your organization. I mean, they are scaring these players so well. They're doing a good job of scaring them. I wouldn't be worried about anything. I wouldn't be worried. You can't leave during a bye week. And then for the other thing, there's really not a ton of places that are open, so you really kind of negate opportunity for them. I'm just saying. I would say under normal circumstances, a ton of emergency. Like, look at baseball. When in the beginning, they all tried to get away with a bunch of things. Hell, in basketball, they all tried to see if they could skirt the rules and they kind of sneak out and do some things, you know, just to kind of make it feel like old times, like a normal life.
And you got busted.
And they get busted. Things happen. Guys get in trouble. And then more importantly, I'm sure you get shamed.
The NBA kicked a guy out of the playoffs because he had the COVID test girl in his room.
Right. I mean, kicked them out of the playoffs. There's always a couple guys that are going to see if they can get away with it. So, like, we had the BC coach, Jeff Hafley, Ron, right?
Love him.
And he says, he made all the seniors stand up, say, hey, stand up. So I want you guys, different in the pros, but still, hey, look up, you're going to screw up his life, this guy sacrificed for 5 years, this guy 4 years, this guy almost got kicked out of school, now he's back, this is his last opportunity to play. Are you willing to look him in the face and tell him you're the reason why he can't play football his senior year? So I like what a lot of these college coaches have to do that because they can't find him, but the pro coaches, I would say, you know, maybe Roddy's just got a little Dale in him.
Yeah, you know? What the,
I mean, maybe that's what it is. He's just a little.
But I would say this. I would say this with Rodney. I think in a week or two, we're probably going to be in that place. Because you're right in comparing it to baseball. Baseball was very callous early on. The
players, you don't think we're there now?
It's not going to affect me. No, I don't. Look at what happened to Tennessee just days ago.
No.
And now we've got a presumptive positive with the Jets. Yep. We don't know what that situation is.
That could have been from last week. My point is, I feel like the Tennessee Titans, the New England Patriots, kind of, you know, is going to scare everybody straight because the coaches are going to sit there and go, holy crap, can you imagine what Mike Vrabel is going through right now? They're accusing him of, like, you know, circumventing the rules, you know, because he's arrogant and he's going to do it anyways because he can't dare go without some time with his team practicing. I mean, look what's happened to the Patriots. I mean, on a very small level, but two important players. Now, I think this is all going to be locked down. I mean, I'll tell you this.
Well, okay, so you heard Rodney Harrison real quick, right? Say how he did everything right and it still got into his house. And I think, you know, you could say that about a lot of people. Yep. Not everybody's like, you know, irresponsible. You can say
that
just happens.
You can say that about Gilmore.
Everybody,
it's
whatever.
It's an uncontrollable virus.
That's what I mean. So right. It's not like just because you have it, you're acting irresponsible. Like you said, the shame shouldn't come with it. It's just, it happens should to everybody. Not. So he even admits that did everything right and he still gets back into his house. But then he talks about what he wants the players, what he thinks the NFL should do with the players.
Players are going to have to be completely and totally committed to isolating themselves, whether it's away from family, you know, and basically, you know, going to work and coming home, not going to the grocery store, just being at home isolated. My wife and my daughter caught the virus, and because my daughter brought it home over to them, and she's a nurse. It's just like, you know, you give somebody a simple hug and all of a sudden it could pass. It's just a scary thing. And now you look at the competitive imbalance. You look at what the Patriots had to go through without Cam Newton, what they possibly might have to go through without Stephon Gilmore. Like, you talk about the fans, Mike, being upset. I mean, a lot of coaches, I'm sure, are upset losing their star players.
See, to me, it doesn't – what he's saying in those two cuts that we played doesn't really make much sense.
Why?
Because if I was someone like Harrison that sat there and said, listen, we did everything right and it still came back into our house. Everything right. I would then turn around and say, so it doesn't, therefore, it doesn't matter if you isolate the players or put the players in a bubble. Because I've already seen it. You could do everything right and still get this virus.
Yeah, but I
disagree. But instead, he's saying that they should now go into a bubble.
Yeah, I hear what he's saying, but on the other hand, when he's talking about we did everything right, we're already finding out that healthcare workers, and it's not their fault, but those are many of the people who are carrying it because they're the ones on the front line trying to deal with it, and then they take it home to their family. We're hearing cases of that. So in that respect, when he says we did everything right, well, your daughter was a healthcare worker.
No, but what I'm
so
saying,
she was exposed to
given
it.
Given Rodney Harrison's experience, if they asked Rodney, so should the players go in a bubble? He should say, well, I don't really think it matters.
Yeah,
because you could do everything right and still get this. So I don't think it matters if they
go
to a bubble.
You reduce the risk, and I think that's the one thing. You're never going to eliminate it. You can reduce the risk. But Christian brought this up the other day, and I think the other day when he brought it up, we all had the same reaction, and that is, what's wrong with a guy going out and having dinner with a fellow player?
Nothing.
I think, okay, but I think we're looking at it much differently this week, and if I'm a coach of a team, I sit there and say, hey, listen, we had a case, obviously, last Friday where one of our players was doing something that we just took for granted that you normally do, and that's go with a fellow teammate. You go out to dinner. Guys, we can't do that any longer. You're sitting down exposed for 90 minutes, maybe longer than that, obviously in close proximity, and we're finding out that's where this disease is being transferred. So you can't do that anymore. On the football field, we're not necessarily seeing that. But in that case, if that's the way that it was contracted to Gilmore, this is a problem with players going out and having dinner, guys. It is, isn't it? I think Rodney's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, listen, I don't know. We'll see.
The rules
have
all changed.
Yeah, they have.
The rules have all changed. Yeah. All right, we got more, Rodney, and I want to get into this rule because this rule makes no sense whatsoever. Talk about hypocritical NFL. This speaks hypocrites loudly. We'll get to it. And again, Mike Lombardi coming up at the top of the hour.
This is not a good job. This is a great job by the NFL. First of all, it's a rule that was agreed to, okay? So you don't want competition to be skewed. If Belichick's got to wear a mask, it's tough to communicate, as we know, through masks. You shouldn't have Pete Carroll being able to take the mask off in the middle of the game. It's unfair. You get outbreaks, you're going to undermine fan confidence. And more importantly, these Neanderthals like Derek the Steelers fan, these football coaches that fancy themselves role models. Well, okay, if you want to be a role model, set a good example for your players. They are going to follow your lead. If you're not taking it seriously, they're not going to take it seriously.
You're going to be okay with seeing Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll or a coach suspended because of a
mask draft pick
issue?
Yeah, losing a draft pick.
Or losing a
you
draft pick.
You have to enforce these things.
So we all heard Ken Laird, our own Ken Laird, say this, and we laughed at it, right? Come on, Neanderthal. What are we talking about here? The NFL's officiating department today sent a memo to teams today. This is not Ken Laird sending the memo. This is the NFL officiating department sending a memo to all teams today saying the league is now reminding the game officials that they can now assess a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct if they're approached during a game by a coach not wearing a face covering. Now, here's the issue I have with this. They can certainly be approached by a player Matter of fact, players, 46 on either side, could actually come and approach them face-to-face not wearing a mask, and that's okay. You can't throw the 15-yard penalty for that. But should a coach come near them, and the chances are the coach is going to be, as we've seen, 12, 15, 20, 30 feet away, screaming at you out in the field, and the only way he can get your attention and you can understand him is to drop his mask, as opposed to a player who's doing it 2 feet away from you out in the playing field. This is asinine.
It's all part of the optics, though, Glenn. It just added to the pile, added to the list. So now, and maybe it's just, I just don't, there's just no getting around it. There's no complaining, no bitching, no complaining is going to get you out of it. Oh, yeah, you didn't like the rule that we first put out there? Okay, how about this one? Oh, you think we're playing around? You think we're messing around? How about this one? Hey, but you stuck us in a small locker room, and none of us had masks on, and then we went out to the field, and then I had a mask on. What is the freaking difference? It has nothing to do with practicality. That rule and with the rule with the coaches wearing masks has everything to do with optics. How are we being perceived? What are people saying about us? Oh, do they think we're doing a good job? Do they think we're keeping people safe? That's what it's all about. That's it. There's nothing else.
Yeah, it's I don't know. These coaches are gonna lose their minds, though. They are gonna lose their minds. I mean,
too bad. They can't. Harbaugh, they can't lose their mind.
I mean, it's just you get so upset about what is going on, like Bill was or Harbaugh was a couple weeks back when he said it's just impossible to think that. He already came out. Harbaugh already came out and said it's impossible to think that I'm going to be able to not take my mask off to yell at a ref. You know, so now it's like, well, okay, well, guess what? If you do, we're going to bang you. You know, and it's just, I don't know, these guys, they're pissed for a reason. Like, you're not always under control when you're just upset over something like that call that the Patriots had the other night. And that mask is going to come off, and Bill's going to scream, and then he's going to get, then they're going to fine him.
I'm not going to get out there and get in the way.
So if you can't get the attention of the official, or as you guys probably have done, you're in a grocery store, you've got a mask on, you're talking to the attendant there because you're trying to find something, and they go, what? What'd you say? Because let's face it, when you put the mask on, and I get it, I wear the mask in the grocery stores, wherever I go, you have to, we get it. But you can't understand somebody clearly. Matter of fact, don't the referees, when they want to let the public know what the call was, what are the first thing they do?
Take the mask off.
Pull the mask down.
You know what this is, though?
Right.
This is
they're not in somebody's face either, though.
Here's what it is.
But the coaches aren't really doing it in their face, are
they?
No,
they're not. But this is just a great example, and there's a lot of them, of the NFL's arrogance towards everything.
Yes.
Like, they think they do everything better than everybody.
Yep.
Like, last week, they were bragging about their protocols and bragging about this, and we do this, and it's the best in the world. Hey, this is why we do it better than the NBA, better than the NHL, better than Major League Baseball. They're so freaking arrogant with everything. Yeah. They said they go, no.
Meanwhile, they forgot to check visiting locker rooms.
Yeah.
To see if they're compliant to what they want to do.
It's like, oh, don't pay. Oh, that's not a big deal. That we had nothing to do with that. So we're still clean, right? We're still the best in the world. It's this agenda where everything that they do needs to be the best. They have to be perceived as the best, as the smartest, having the best protocol, having the best standards, having their coaches live up to all these high expectations. That is the NFL to a T. They've turned into this monster where they think their poop doesn't stink. I mean, it's been like that for a while, but this, I mean, it's just, it's beyond comprehension how silly and impractical these protocols are.
No, it is optics. What they're doing is they want the public to know that we're on the right side. We're trying to deal with safety. We're following the CDC, except when it comes to pushing a team that we already know that there was close contact with a positive case. We're only going to give them 35% of the recommended space. Recommended by who? The CDC. So they're selective in what they do. They didn't think that would be a big deal. Nobody would bitch about it. Wouldn't get out there. But you're right, Christian. It's all about image. And that's all this is. This makes absolutely no sense. How stupid is it going to be when we see a game this weekend where they're throwing 15-yard flags out there because the coach is pissed off because he just got screwed in a bad call like Belichick did the other night?
So you think you got screwed in a bad call? And you're arguing, and you take the mask down, and the ref throws 15 more on top of what you think you already got screwed on.
Someone will do it.
What do you do?
Someone will do it.
Bill might rip his shirt off. Right there
someone,
on TV.
I'm like, not going to get out there and get in the way.
Oh, my God.
Don't you think someone... Who's it going to happen to first? Can somebody pull up some betting line and see who they think the coach is to get flagged first? Who's the hottest head of them all? Who's got the shortest fuse out of all the coaches in the NFL? I would say it could be Bill.
I think it could be any of them.
Sean Payton. I'll give you Sean Payton. Ain't going to be any of the younger coaches.
It could be any of them except for Gase because his eyes just wander. He doesn't know what's going on.
But here's why it doesn't make any sense. Is that the officials are out there, they have the mask on, the players that are constantly around them at all times, they don't know if any of these guys are going to test positive the next day. Somebody was on the field last week, an official with Cam Newton, had no idea whether he had COVID or not, right?
Right.
And yet they're around all these guys for the entire course of over 3 hours.
I do, Glenn, I do like your analogy with the refs. So the refs, because the refs will go to wherever, they'll take their mic, their mask off, and they'll bring their mic around, and then they'll give you
information. But they're not in front of anybody.
And no, but it doesn't matter because I sit here and I see all these other people, analysts doing news or doing sports, and they'll do a stand up with their mask on, and nobody's even close to them. So they'll make sure they keep the optics in line. Why don't the refs? Like, if you're going to be so impractical with the coaches, do the same thing with the refs then. Make the refs keep their mask on. Well, I can still hear you. If the coaches can talk to other coaches with their mask on, with their mics, then he can give us the details with his mask on.
That's is inconsistent because they care about the product on TV and the viewers. But like you said, a coach has to keep his mask on while trying to talk to the quarterback, defensive coordinator, and everybody else. Right?
I mean, like, I can't hear you. What play do you want? What number? You take your mask off to be more clear.
Lou, the only way I would see that it would be a clear-cut violation where the league would have a case, and even this is a stretch, is if the coach on the sideline is furious and the only guy he can get to is the sideline judge who is literally 2 feet away from him, right? And he's grabbing him by the arm, he pulls his mask down and starts screaming in his face. Then I could understand.
Well, that's what they're talking about, right? Yeah. If you're close proximity of a referee and your mask is off and they're screaming at you, that's what we're talking about. Like, I don't know if, like, Bill on the sidelines, pulls his mask down and starts screaming out to the field. I don't think that's what we're talking about. We've seen it. I mean, Bill, there was the sideline judge is right there and the mask is down and he's screaming and yelling at the guy. That's what they're talking about. Right? And I think that's where the refs are like, I don't feel safe.
Yeah, but the players are getting into the other players'
There's
faces.
Not a safer place in the world than a football field.
I agree. I think we're finding out you can go have dinner with a teammate. You might have some problems.
Yeah.
The ref doesn't feel
safe with a coach yelling at him with his mask down. But they don't care about the players on the field.
Yelling at them.
Yelling at each other.
Oh, they'll do that too. Like, because a lot of times the head ref, the ump, will sit there and talk to the quarterbacks or the captains. Hey, what do you want to do on this? Do you want to take the ball?
What do you see all the time? At the end of the play, like, the wide receiver, cornerback are in each other's face yelling at each other. So that's okay, but if a coach yells at a ref without a mask on, then everyone's going to die.
Exactly. There's no consistency.
I'm just confused.
It is just so... That's why I call it NFL's amazing arrogance. They just want to sit there and act like they're smarter than everybody. And not only are we smarter than you, we're going to tell you what's best for you.
That's why I think there's no chance that if somebody is still positive by Monday, I don't care if it's 10 days, 20 days.
It's their rule, Glenn.
I don't see how it's their rule. They can change the rule.
We all have a sheet of their rules.
They'll change the rule.
Okay, well, they could do that.
They'll change the rule.
They could do that.
Because they're not going to allow that to happen because that becomes the major talking point on Monday. You got to be kidding me.
Listen,
He's still positive and you're going to put Cam Newton on the field?
And I don't know, whether Vrabel's just talking out of his you-know-what or not, but he already came out early this week. I don't know, it was Wednesday, I think it was. And he said that none of the players that have tested positive are going to play. So, none of them.
So, up to, 13, 14 guys?
Right. He doesn't expect to have any of the players who tested positive. So, they have, just to go over it again, so they plan on playing. So, we're talking about Cam Newton being able to play, correct?
Yes.
Because he was on Friday, October 3rd. These guys are playing the Tuesday afterwards. Meanwhile, Adam Humphries was the second before Cam. So they have Christian Fulton, their starting cornerback. Jeffrey Simmons, the starting defensive end. Correa, the starting linebacker. Brinkley's their long snapper. And Daquan Jones is their starting defensive lineman.
Good luck.
all six of those guys were positive before Cam. Corey Davis is another one that was up the other day, put on the COVID list. They have like seven starters. Two of them defensive linemen, a corner, and two wide receivers.
So you're telling me Vrabel is saying every single player that tested positive, regardless of when he tested positive, is flat out just not going to play in the game
Mike
on Tuesday.
Mike Vrabel said on Tuesday he doesn't expect to have any of the players who tested positive for Sunday's game. Now, that might change.
Well, that's Tuesday. Today's Friday.
So now that it's Tuesday, but some of these guys were eligible to play on Sunday, like Cam technically might be able to, right?
Monday.
And still said no.
Yeah.
Cam's going to play on Monday.
I think he is, too.
We'll I mean, see. He'll practice on Saturday.
If he has negative tests, two negative tests, I think he
within
plays.
Within a 24-hour time frame.
If well, he, right. If he I'm doesn't have those negative tests, I'm not buying it, guys. Let me go to the phone.
Listen here's to the experts, Glenn.
Yep. Here's John and Southie. The experts today, Lou, they change their mind tomorrow. Hello, John.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, so, you know, Christian, you were saying something about the NFL signing and taking away, for anything the team does, they're just going to show them we can do whatever we want.
No, and yes,
too much noise in the background.
Yeah,
sorry,
and they
John.
Will, and they will explain it away by saying, "This is what's best for you." I've told you, I'm only doing what's
safety.
Best for
We're
you.
Doing it for safety.
Oh, thank you. Safety. Okay, so why did you put me in this locker? This locker room, not the locker, like
just,
we're in high school.
I'll go back to Cam. Can you? I mean, if I'm Bill Belichick, I would lose my ever-loving mind if the league doesn't approve him playing on Monday. I really would. I would lose it. Like, it's all about, like, we've got rules, right? I mean, you put these rules on your website about what we can and can't do. You've threatened to fine us. You've threatened to take picks. You've made all these threats. We do all this stuff. By the way, you had us flying a game day. We accept it, even though it's against, you know, whatever, NFLPA rules, whatever. You also jammed us in a damn locker room. And now, according to your rules, I have a quarterback that can play on Monday night based on your rules. I thought we were going by the rules.
Yeah, but did
and
you
now
hear
you're
the
telling
whole rule?
Me that it's bad optics?
Yeah. You know those commercials that speed through all of the rules and regulations because maybe they don't want you to hear all the fine details and they just do it. Blah, 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 the guy talks real
well, if we're not gonna if we're not
At
gonna
the
go by the rules that the league sets forth, then what are we doing?
At the end of this rule,
don't make
says,
the rule.
It says pending league approval.
But don't make it a rule if you're not gonna abide by them.
Well, pending league approval is lawyer talk for But everything we just told you is a bunch of BS because we can do whatever we want. That's basically what they're telling you. I just don't think from a PR standpoint, on Monday, they're going to allow a player who is still positive, albeit 10 days removed from when he originally tested the first time, on the playing field with other players. I don't see it happening. Here's Nuno in Rhode Island. Nuno.
Yes, I just want to mention something because NFL has to a lot to learn with soccer because all soccer coaches, they do not wear masks. Assistant coaches, the players in the benches, doctors, they all wear masks, not the coaches because FIFA realizes how the heck the coach is going to talk to the players if he's wearing a mask. I think that's what NFL has to learn. I don't think Mr. Belichick should wear a mask. So that was my point I want to make.
I didn't know MLS. I don't know. I know
Christian,
baseball the managers and coaches in baseball have to wear a mask. Like you know the two bubble sports. Brad Stevens isn't wearing when they're in a bubble. You know, NHL they're in a bubble. Baseball wasn't, and their managers and coaches all had to wear masks the entire time. So even to go out and talk to the pitchers, obviously, right? So I don't know about MLS. Talking about FIFA. I don't know if he's talking about over in Europe or not. But whatever.
Well, you know what? What about what about the NBA bubble where you had the players, you had the coaches, and then you had like the trainers who were also in the bubble, the ball boys or the guys that I don't know what do they call the guys that kind of you know wipe up the sweat with the towels?
Yeah.
Those guys, they're
towel guys.
They're all contact. They all got the bracelets on. They're all doing the contact tracing. They're all living the same life the NBA players on. But while they're on the court, because they can't leave the bubble either. So while they're on the court, they got to wear a mask. To me, it doesn't make any sense. So if you're testing me every day and I'm negative every day and I'm not leaving the bubble, just like you know Jimmy Butler is, then why do I have to wear a mask? I just don't. Don't tell me, start create good habits.
Well, getting back to the officials in the NFL, what do they do during the course of the week? Do they go back to their other job?
Good point.
Lawyer, whatever kind of life they're doing, do they go back? Do they interact with other people and then just show up Friday or Saturday for games? What do they do? Where have they been? Do I know what the contact tracing is for the officials? Because now I'm putting them out there on the field next to players, next to coaches.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell what, you can't trust those dirty refs.
You can't. That's why they wear stripes. This hour has been brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. We'll check in with our buddy, Mike Lombardi. It's coming up next right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.